We're holding in Brachos on page 212, fourth line, middle of Os Kuf Mem Dalin. We learned yesterday that there was a gathering of the Chachamim in Yavne, in Kerem B'Yavne, in the yeshiva over there. And four of the Chachamim, we said in turn, four of the top Chachamim were there, and each one of them was going to get up and speak. So first we quoted Rabbi Huda's. First, we quoted Rabbi Yehuda's Darasha because we said he was Rosh HaMadabrim Mechal Mokim. He was the chief speaker on every occasion. And he darshan in honor of the Torah and in honor of the people in Yavne who are hosting the Talmid HaChachamim over there. That we see that when Moshe pitched his tent outside the Machne, and it says anybody who sought to come close to Hashem would go out to Moshe's tent. So we see, even though they're going maximum of 12 mil, which was the size of Machne Yisrael, still the Torah gives them that exalted title of they're seeking Hashem. So the Rabbi Yehuda says, how much more so people who travel much greater distances in order to learn Torah. So now the Gemara goes on to douse in a couple of other psukim in that, one more pasuk in that connection. Now, on the face of it, it's just because, as the Gemara often does, since it gave a drasha on one pasuk, so then the Gemara digresses to explain another pasuk in that context. Anaf Yosef points out there may be another point in it as well, that here you have the Jewish people are going out of the Machne to go and see Moshe and to learn Torah from him. And Hashem tells Moshe, as we're going to go on to say, that you should come back into the Machne. Don't abandon the Jewish people. Don't be angry at them. So therefore, that's a continuation that instead of, so to speak, they're coming to learn Torah, instead of making them schlep out to you, you come to them. So that's really Kvod Achsanya, that continues then on Rabbi Yehuda's theme of giving honor to the people who are coming and hosting the Talmid Chachamim in town who are coming to learn Torah. So the Pasuk continues. The Pasuk says over there, now you have a Pasuk like this. V'dibur Hashem al Moshe ponim al ponim. Hashem spoke to Moshe face to face. Kasher yidabu isha re'ehu, as a person speaks to his friend. V'shovel ha-machne, and he returned to the machne. U'mashosa Yeshua bin Nunar lo yomish b'teicha oil, and his attendant, the young man, Yeshua bin Nun, he wasn't so young, actually. He was in his 40s or 50s at the time, different opinions. Anyway, lo yomish b'teicha oil, he would not move from within Moshe's tent because he was constantly learning Torah from him. So the Gemara is bothered by, among other things, what do those three things have to do in the pasuk with one another? That Hashem is speaking to Moshe upon him, that he's returning to the Machne, and that Yeshua is always in the tent. And also, Maushar explained, the first part is, what's the ponim upon him? We know from later on in Pesukim that lo yurani ufanei lo yuro, lo yurani yodim b'choy. So what do we mean that Hashem is speaking to Moshe like a person would speak to another face to face? So the Dibur Hashem al Moshe ponim al ponim, Om Rabbi Yitzchak means Om Alei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, means Hashem is telling Moshe, Moshe, Ani Va'ata Nasbir Ponim B'Halacha. You and I should show each other a face, show each other, save upon him Yafis, when it comes to learning Halacha. So it means, first of all, there's the idea that you should taka have when you're learning Torah from somebody, you do it face to face. You learn much better that way. There's a Gemara elsewhere, for example, that says that Rebbe says, I'm smarter than all my other chaverim because I saw the back of Rebbe Meir. And if I had seen his face, then I would have been on an even higher level. So there's the idea, in other words, that it's Yosef brings that. So therefore, in other words, the Rav and the Talmud should be showing each other their faces. And also there's the idea that it should be the save upon him Yafis, because then that way, when the Talmud realizes that his Rebbe is happy with him and vice versa, the Rebbe realizes that the Talmud is showing a friendly face and wants to learn, then the learning will be much better. So therefore, Hashem is telling Moshe, we're going to do that. So that's V'dibur Hashem HaMoshe, ponim ponim. In other words, Marshall says, we parse the pasuk, V'dibur Hashem HaMoshe. Hashem spoke to Moshe. And what did he tell him? Ponim ponim, that's the proper way we should be learning Torah, is ponim ponim. Ikadamni, another version is Kach Omalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe. Another version is that Hashem tells Moshe, he says, Moshe, Kishem Shani Hisbauti L'choponim, just as I am showing my face to you and showing a friendly face, Kach Ata Hasbe Ponim LeYisrael, you also should show a friendly face to the Jewish people, V'hachzo Oyel L'mekoymoy, and bring back the oil to where it is. You took the oil outside the Machne because you're angry at the Jewish people in the aftermath of the Chet Egel. Don't do that. Bring it back to the Machne and show the Jewish people that you want to teach them Torah. Don't make them schlep out to you. the Medrash that says the expression on it that Hashem says to Moshe, you know, we can't both be angry at the Jewish people at the same time. When I'm angry at them, you have to be friendly to them, and vice versa. When I'm friendly to them, then you can be, you know, the Medrash says, like, when I blow hot, you blow cold, and vice versa. Let's not both be on the outs with the Jewish people at the same time. So now comes the second part of the pasuk, the shavu l'machne v'gomer, where it says he returned to the machne. So now the Gemara is understanding that's not a statement of fact that Moshe returned to the machne. It's rather the continuation of what Hashem is telling Moshe what to do. So in other words, that's why it belongs in the same pasuk. So the shavu l'machne. So Hashem is telling him, return to the machne. Amar Rabbo, Amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, Achshav Yomu. Now people are going to say, Harav Bekas, the Talmud Bekas. If the Rebbe Hashem is angry at them, and the Talmud Moshe Rabbeinu are also, you're showing yourself unfriendly to them that you took your tent outside the machne. Yisrael Matzeh Alem. What's going to be with the Jewish people? Somebody needs to be showing them a friendly face and then be makad of them again. So the shovel amachna, as Hashem telling him, you have to return to the tent. If you return the tent to its place and you go back among the Jewish people, mutav, then good. And if not, Yeshua ben Nun Talmid chamasharis tachtecha, then Yeshua ben Nun, your Talmud, will start serving instead of you. So that is why you have that third part. Now we understand the relevance of that third part of the pasuk. In other words, that Hashem is saying, in effect, he is not going to be moving from the tent. He's going to be taking over for you if you don't return. And that's what it means when it says he returned to the machna. So Moshe did listen. So the v'shav means both. It's Hashem telling Moshe, return to the machna otherwise. And Moshe, in fact, did listen and return to the machna. And Omar Rava afkem lo yotza adov v'latol. Nevertheless, as we know, whenever Hashem makes a promise for good, it never gets canceled. It never goes for nothing. So even though Moshe returned his tent into the machna, still what Hashem promised that Yeshua is going to be a successor, Taka came out that way. Shenema, as the pasuk continues, Umashosi Yeshua ben Nunah lo yomish b'techa oil, that he never moved from the tent. So Taka, he remained Yeshua, he remained Moshe's Talmud, and eventually he took over from Moshe as the leader. Rashi actually takes out that line, the line Shenema Umashosi Yeshua ben Nunah, because he says the point seems to be, in other words, that we know Yeshua took over. You don't really need the pasuk to be telling us that point. Rather, the point of that part of the pasuk is, as we're saying, that Hashem is, so to speak, threatening Moshe that Yeshua will take over if you don't come back. And then we know, eventually, that came true because Yeshua did take over his belief. What? Gershom and Eliezer. So, I mean, we know about them a little bit from Divrei Yomim. We know it talks about their family trees over there. I mean, they were just Levium. They were Levium like any other Levium. There was nothing special about them as far as that. It does mention that there was a son of Eliezer. He was another example where Hashem made a promise and it came true, even though the reason behind it didn't. We know that after the Chet Egel and a few other times, Hashem threatened to wipe out the Jewish people and store it over with Moshe and make for him, I'm God over Otsum. I'm God over Otsum. So the Medrash says, Rashi brings it in one of those places on the pasuk that in fact that came true. There's a pasuk in Divrei Yomim that says that Eliezer had a son Rechavia, and Uvnei Rechavia Rovu Lamayim. The children of Rechavia were tremendously numerous, and the Gemara and the Medrash says it means that Rechavia had 600,000 descendants alone. So therefore, so literally, there came a great, huge nation equal in size to the rest of the Jewish people just from Moshe. Other than that, the only other thing we know that I know of offhand is that it says that a son of Gershom named Yehonasan eventually became the priest of Micha's idol. And then later on, the Gemara says in Baba Basra, he did tshuva and David appointed him as his chief treasurer. And later on, a Medrash says that when Shlomo became king, then he fired all of David's ministers and appointed new ones. So then Yehonasan went back to his old ways and eventually he's the last time he's mentioned is there's a story in Sefer Melachim that tells about an old false Navi living in Basel, and the Medrash identifies him with his Yehonasan and the grants and emotion. So that's about it that we know, as far as I know. continues the Gemara, V'oid posach Rabbi Yehuda b'chvoid Torah v'darash. Then Rabbi Yehuda gave another drasha about the honor of the Torah, having focused on the honor of the achsanya, of the hosts, who are, of the people in town, the Balabatim and Yavna, who are hosting the Talmid HaChacham, who are coming to learn Torah. Now he said another drasha in praise of the Torah itself. V'darash, and he darshin as follows. The posach says, Moshe says to the Jewish people in Parashas Kisavai, Haskes Ushma Yisrael, pay attention, and the Gemara is soon going to darish in a few drushes from the word Haskes, but the simple meaning of Haskes is pay attention, Ushma Yisrael, and listen Yisrael, Hayoyim Azen Yisalam, this day you become a nation. Now, what do you mean? When did we become a nation? When we received the Torah. There's a famous line from Sadia Gaon that says, "Einu Moseinu Uma Ela B'Torah Sehel." Our nation is a nation only by virtue of its Torahs, Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebalpeh. So we became a nation at Matan Torah. So V'Aloi Oseyem Sofa Boim Shana Hoya. That day was the end of 40 years, because the whole Sefer Dvarim takes place during the last few weeks of Moshe's life. So Ela L'Lamdecha. So it comes to teach you Shechaviva Torah Alem Dehel B'Chol Yoyim Mayoyim. The Torah is precious every day to those who learn it, or the Torah is precious to those who learn it every single day. Those who learn it every single day feel that it's particularly precious, kiyom shenitna mehar Sinai, as like the day that it was given on Har Sinai. So hayom hazeh, even though it's 40 years later, you who are learning Torah every day, and the whole Dura Midbar, that's what they were doing. You think about it, what were they doing in the Midbar? They didn't have fields to plant. They didn't have clothing to make. Their clothing grew with them. Their shoes grew with them. They had the mon, they had the Be'er Shem Miriam. All they did the entire time, the 40 years in the desert, was they sat and learned Torah. So those who are learning Torah every day, to them the Torah is precious. Hayoyim hazeh, you feel that it's as precious, kiyoyim shenitim mehar Sinai, as like the day that it was actually given on Har Sinai. Omer of Tanchum, Breidir of Chia, Ishkva Akoy, Teda. You can see a proof for that. You can see how vital it is that you have something like that, learning Torah, that you do every single day without missing even once. Shari Odom Kodah Krishma Shachas V'Arvis. You have a person says Krishma twice a day, in the morning and the evening. The Erev Echad Eine Kodah. If then one evening he, for whatever reason, he forgets and doesn't say Krishma. So let's finish the sentence. And then Doima Kmishla Kara Krishma Ulam, he feels as though he's never said Krishma. Because Krishma is also supposed to be like that. Rashi mentions on the Pasuk, Marsha brings it over here. You should consider you should consider it. Rashi says on the Pasuk over there, could you tagma chadosha, as if it's like a new letter, a new communique that came from the king, where everybody is excited to hear and to read the latest news. So now if one evening you miss it, and then you feel, so now that evening you didn't feel it was new, you just felt like it was old. So now, therefore, it causes a chalishus for the future, that now it doesn't feel as exciting for the future. Why is that? And that's that, what? Yes. So then we're not saying you did it on purpose. We're saying even if you forgot. But the fact is that even though the forgetting about it causes afterwards a certain weakness in it. Elsewhere, the Gemara expresses that. Rashi in a different place brings in this canal. Maybe it's in the same place. I don't remember. Yeah, I think it is in Parshas Vayeshanan on Kirishma. Rashi brings a loshen over there. Yom tazveni yomayim ezvekar. The Torah says, if you abandon me for one day, then I'll abandon you for 2 days. In other words, you have to picture as though you and the Torah are going to be moving in opposite directions. And therefore, at the end of one day, you're 2 days journey apart. And therefore, you have to make an extra effort to undo that and come back close to the Torah. It's interesting, by the way, in the Hakdama to Ein Yaakov, the Mechaber of Ein Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov Ibn Chaviv, brings a braisa. So we all know the famous thing that Rabbi Akiva says, what's less well known is the Medrash goes on and quotes a couple of other Tanoim who had different opinions of what's Klal Gadol B'Torah. One of them is I think it's Ben Azai, but I don't remember. Says that the key thing, the Klal Gadol B'Torah is as a keves echad tasa b'boker, as a keves hasheni tasa ben ha'aboy. And what does that mean? Why is that Klal Gadol B'Torah? So the Ein Yaakov explains, and the Maharal explains further, that the vote is that's talking about the importance of learning Torah every single day. That's the key thing in Yiddishkeit, and they're more so. Therefore, so he says, even more than even more important than any of those is to have that kvius every day. And as we know, as the Rebbeim always stressed, it has to be a kvius not only in time but also in nefesh, that it feels like the most important thing to you. So therefore, so that's what we're saying. Therefore, that's hayoyim hazen yesalav. Now, more, so therefore, so Rabbi Yehuda gave this drasha in honor of the Torah. The Rif points out over here an interesting point. We learned yesterday, we said that it seems that this gathering in Yavne with these Chachamim took place after the Shema, after all those terrible years when Adrianus and his various ministers and soldiers and whatnot in Eretz Yisrael had killed the Asura Arugei Malchus, and outlawed Torah and outlawed Yiddishkeit, and everybody had to scatter and hide. So under those conditions, it was very difficult to learn Torah. Now they're finally the Shalfei Ashmad. They're finally the Shmad is over, and it's time to get back to normal life. People are likely to feel very bad all those years, all that time that we missed being able to learn Torah. So Rabbi Yehuda is kind of being menachem them. He's telling them that that now at least you're coming back together to learn Torah as soon as possible, and therefore, so now you'll feel it again as chadosh and mamash, and you'll have that, you'll recapture that excitement that you had previously before the Shmad when you tackle with learning Torah every day. Continues the Gemara, haskes, another meaning of, what does the word haskes mean? So again, simple sense of it means pay attention. Bechlal, there's a concept, I think the Torah Tamima mentions this, somebody else mentions this, that when you have a rare word like that, it's not a common word in Chumash. I think it may actually be the only place in Tanakh where it appears, but even if not, it's a very rare word. So therefore, the Gemara wants to understand that it means more than just the simple meaning. There's another layer of, there's more layers of meaning in why Moshe chose that rare word. So haskes, we darshan asu kitos kitos. We break up the word haskes into has case, and the word has, we can darshan as though it was the shodash as. We take the hey and turn it into an ayin, because both of them are pronounced in the throat. We take the sin and turn it into a sama, because they're pronounced identically, and therefore we have the shodash as, as in assay, as in make. And the kas, the case, kof suf, becomes the shodash, the word kat, which means groups. So asu kitos kitos, make groups and make more groups, the iskuba Torah, and occupy yourselves with Torah. In other words, don't learn Torah by yourself, learn it b'chavrusa, learn it in a group. A lafisha in a Torah nikness ela b'chavura, because the Torah is acquired only by learning it in a group. Kidir Rabbi Yosi b'chanina, and this is like what Rabbi Yosi b'chanina says. The Amr Rabbi Yosi b'chanina, my dichtiv, what is the meaning of, it says in a pasuk, cherev el abadim minoyalu, a sword against the badim, and they will be noyalu. Now, the simple meaning of the pasuk is, badim means people who make up things, literally. So, the context of the pasuk is, it's in a nevuah of Yirmiyah about how Bavel is going to be defeated and destroyed. So we had earlier in the perek about all the brachas that you make when you see the ruins of Bavel and Nebuchadnezzar's palace and so on and so forth. So he says you have the badim, you have all of these magicians over there who make up things, who claim that they can tell the future or whatever, and they have no idea what they're talking about. A sword against them, the noyalu, and they will be shown to be foolish. But the Gemara is dashing now that this is also a message and a warning to the Talmid Chacham. A sword against the enemies of the Talmid Chachamim, which is the Gemara's usual euphemism for the Talmid Chachamim themselves, Shiyoshin bad bevad, where they sit alone. The word bad means alone. And they learn Torah. So they deserve a sword because they're learning Torah alone rather than learning b'chavrusa, or rather than learning in a group. Why Davka a sword? So this Gemara is also in Makkos. Marshal refers over here to a Pirush of his over there, where he explains that we know that a goy who's oisek b'Torah chayev misa. Now, when Jews learn Torah, we all have the same Torah. We all have the same Jewish religion. So therefore, we learn Torah in a group. Mashenkin the goyim, everyone has their own religion and their own idea of how they're going to connect with Hashem. So therefore, if they're going to learn Torah, they would tend to do it alone, because why should I learn with somebody else who may not see things the way that I do, and who's going to and he may not agree with my religious idea. So therefore, when a Talmid Chacham is learning Torah alone, then he's learning Torah in a goyish way, and therefore he deserves the punishment that a goy gets for being over on the Shem Mitzvah Minayach. That's how Marshal explains it over there. Iyun Yaakov over here points out another thing. There's a medrash that says, "Hasayif ba'sefer yodu kruchim min hashemayim." The sword and the sefer came down, both wrapped up together, min hashemayim, and Hashem says it's one or the other. So therefore, when you have a person that's not learning from the sefer properly, then he has the other. So that's the cherev al abadim. Not only that, a person learns Torah by himself rather than with a group, he becomes foolish. And we know that Simcha v'noyalu, because here you have this pasuk Cherev al abadim v'noyalu. And what does the word v'noyalu mean? Uchtivasim asher ne'alu. You have at the end of Parashas Ba'aloyscha, after Miriam has spoken Lashon Hara about Moshe, and she gets taras, so Aaron pleads with Moshe. He says, don't hold it against us, asher ne'alu, that we were foolish. So we see that the word noyalu means to be foolish.
What's the word?
What? Chitas, okay, maybe. I mean, we're talking about learning Torah in a way that a person has to partially understand it. Yeah, in other words, the truth is, I mean, even chitas, I suppose it would be better to do with somebody else. But here, primarily, we're talking about the kind of learning that a person needs to give and take with somebody else in order to understand it, because otherwise he's going to end up misunderstanding it. I mean, maybe you could say, you know, nowadays you have so many translations and explanations, maybe to a certain extent, those count almost as like a chavrusa when you're sitting and learning Torah from a, maybe when you're sitting and learning chumash from a gutnik chumash, maybe, you know, for example, you have gutnik as your chavrusa. I don't know, but it could be. But anyway, here we're saying that you shouldn't do that. So metapshin, they become foolish. Ben Yehoyada, in fact, points out the word tippish is the same letters as the word pshat. So you have a person who's going to think that at least he's understanding the pshat of what he's learning, but really he's not. He's becoming a tippish. That's the word v'noyal, that means foolish. Or if you prefer, I can give you a proof from a different pasuk that the word noyalu means to be foolish. A pasuk from Yeshaya, noyalu sore tzoyan, the noblemen of Tzoyan, which is the capital of Mitzrayim, have become foolish. So where do we see that? That has to do with Averis. So in one place, it actually explains, because the next words in the pasuk are nishu sore noif, that the noblemen of noif, which is another place in the Mitzrayim, have nishu, which means like they've been like hanochashi shiani. It means they've been convinced into doing the wrong thing. That's in one place. And in another place, it actually explains that the vote is because the pasuk continues hisu as Mitzrayim. They've misled Mitzrayim, which implies they misled them into doing avos. And it's all part of a long nevuah that Yeshaya has over there about how Mitzrayim is going to be defeated and destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. Anyway, by Sancheirev, whatever. Anyway, so in short, putting it together, Cherev al Abadim Menoyalu, that means a sword against the ones who are learning alone. Abadim meaning alone, Menoyalu, and they become foolish. So therefore, so again, Haskes, Moshe is hinting to the Jewish people, don't do that. Learn Torah in groups. Dovrach, another explanation, Haske Sushma Yisrael. Another meaning is Katatu Atzmechem al Divrei Torah. Crush yourselves over words of Torah. So, in other words, again, we're doushing the kaf saf from a different shodesh. Before we're saying from the word kat, which means a group. Now we're saying the word kates, which means to chop up, to crush. So, crush yourselves over Divrei Torah. Kidur Shlokish, and this is like what Rish Lakish explains. Do Amr Rish Lakish, Minayin Chain Divrei Torah, Miskaimim, Elabamisha, Mamis Atzmeh. How do we know that Divrei Torah lasts only by somebody who kills himself over them, who's ready to go through tremendous hardship in order to learn Torah? Shenema, Zois HaTorah, Odom Ki Yomos Boil. The pasuk says, this is the Torah when a person dies in a tent. Now, in the simple meaning, it's talking about the dinim of Tumas Nes. But Maharsha points out, earlier, you have earlier psukim that talk about the dinim of Tumas Nes, and it doesn't say the word Zois HaTorah. All of a sudden here it says that. Therefore, we doubt that it means Zois HaTorah. This is the Torah. How does a person learn Torah? When a person is dying ba'oihel in the tent of Torah, when he's killing himself and then ready to go through tremendous hardships and then give up a lot of tanugim of Olam Hazeh in order to learn in the tent of Torah. I think I once mentioned a cute vote I once saw about it, the same way that we can apply it nowadays, the same way as when a person is dead, they don't answer their phone, the same way that's how it should be when a person is in the middle of learning Torah. So that's another meaning of Haskes. Dover Acher, Haskes or Shema Yisrael, another meaning of Haskes and listen Yisrael, means Has v'achakach kates. Has, which means be quiet, and then kates, and then grind it up, and then grind it up and crush it. Which means kiddur Rabba. Then in that case, it's teaching us what Rabba said. A person should always first learn Torah and then delve into it. Which means, in other words, so Rashi says, first be quiet, listen to what your Rebbe is teaching until you know the facts very well, until you know very well the Mishnayos and the Braises and Halachas and whatever that he's teaching you, even if you don't fully understand it. Then kates, then break it up and start asking kashas on it and coming up with terutzim and so forth. This Gemara is also an Avodah Zarah. Rashi mentions over there. The point is, first of all, if you start jumping forward with questions before you fully master the material, first of all, we're talking about, in other words, questions, analytical questions. We're not talking about questions where you partially don't understand the material. We're talking about to analyze it. So first of all, if you don't know the material yet, then what exactly are you analyzing with your questions? And it may even happen as you learn the material further, the questions will fall away on their own and you'll realize there's not even a question over here. The only question you had was because you hadn't really understood it. So that's how you should do it. In fact, in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, in fact, learns it from a different pasuk that you should do it in that order. So now we're saying that Moshe is hinting it with the words Haskes or Shema Yisrael. So further on the topic of how a person should learn Torah, Amri Dvei Rav Yanai, they said in the yeshiva of Rav Yanai, Mai Dichtiv, what does it mean, a pasuk in Mishlei, Ki Mitz Cholav Yotzi Chema, squeezing out milk produces chema, where chema can either mean butter or cream. I think the Rebbe mentions in a sicha someplace that his malamed, for example, when you have by Avram Avinu, when he served the malachim chema v'cholav, I think there's someplace where the Rebbe says that his malamed translated chema as smetim, which means cream, because you don't serve somebody butter to eat, but you serve them cream to eat. Anyway, whatever the case, chema is the good stuff of the milk. So squeezing out milk produces chema, or mitzaf yotzi dam, squeezing the nose brings out blood, or mitzapayim yotzi riv, and squeezing out anger brings an argument. So in the simple meaning of the pasuk, Shlomo HaMelech is giving us a mashal. The same way as if you churn milk, you're going to get butter or cream, and if you squeeze or punch a nose, you're going to get blood. The same way, if you're angry at somebody and you keep on squeezing and nudging him, then you're going to end up with an argument. But now the Gemara is dashing that it means like this. In which kind of person are you going to find the cream, the best part of the Torah? A person who throws up the milk that he nursed from his mother's breasts over the Torah. In other words, Maharsha explains, a person has when he's younger, he enjoys all the comforts of life living at home as his parents are doing everything for him. So now he realizes that he needs to throw that up. He needs to get rid of that childishness and get ready to horava and Torah. So therefore now from the result of that is he now has the chema, the cream of Torah, which means Maharsha says means hara. He has the ability to paskin and halacha, which is the cream, which is the best part of Torah. The best, like cream is the best part of the milk. The Chassam Sofer in fact says there's a line in Megillas Eicha that says Yedei Nashim Rachmoni is Bishlu Yaldeihem, either the Rachmoni stick of women at the time of the Churban were cooking their children because of the hunger. There's a popular virtual on that says that it applies in later times also. You have mothers sometimes who are too kind to their children. For example, the kid is tired, so you don't want to wake him up in time for cheder, so he sleeps in, and therefore he loses out. So now we're talking about a person tackle wants to learn Torah. He has to be able to forego that kind of rachmanus that his mother or anybody else is going to have on him, and tackle put in hard effort in order to wake up and in order to learn Torah like the way he's supposed to. So then the result of that is the chema. So that's kimitz chalav. He squeezes out the milk that he absorbed when he was younger. Yotzi chema. Then it brings out the cream of Torah. Umitz af yotzi dam, where the second part, squeezing the nose, where the word af also means anger, yotzi dam brings out blood. What that means is, kol talmud church, umitz af yotzi dam, kol talmud church, koyas ol of rabbi, pam rishona, v'shosik. If a talmud, his rebbe is angry at him the first time, and he's quiet, so his rebbe is angry at him because he's not applying himself or whatever, and he doesn't answer back, and and he's quiet and he applies himself to his learning more. Eventually, as a result of that, he will have the schus to be able to tell the difference between blood, which is tameh, and blood, which is tahor. For example, you have in Masechta Nidah, it talks about there can be various, you have the various shades of blood. Only some of them make a woman nidah, some not. You have even the Gemara describes over there, there were certain Amoroyim who had the ability to be able to tell between blood that came as a result of Nidah and blood that came as a result result of other things. So that kind of thing, the Talmud, in the schus of the fact that he accepted his Rebbe's anger at him and didn't answer back and applied himself more to his learning. So therefore, Yotzi Dam, it brings out that ability to be able to tell between one kind of blood and another. And then, when the pasuk continues, umitzak payim yotzi riv, and squeezing out apayim, which is the plural of af, so it means a double anger, yotzi riv, that brings out a fight. That means kol talmud shekoy yisal rabbi pam rishona ushniya. His Rebbe is angry at him a second time, even that even after the Talmud is applying himself more, the Rebbe still holds that the Talmud has more to grow, and that he's not applying himself enough, and he's angry at him. And again, the Talmud accepts it and grows from that. Zoicha lahavchin v'shoisik, and he's quiet. Zoicha lahavchin v'dinim mominus the dinin of fashis. He will have this course eventually to be able to tell the important differences between dinim mominus and dinin of fashis. Marsha points out that dinim mominus are much harder to judge than dinim nefashis. Dinim nefashis, after all, if you have a suffix, fine, you just don't put the person to death, and that's it. Dinim mominus, you can't do that. If you're going to be makel for one person, it comes out even machmu for the other, and you can't, it's at somebody else's expense. So you can't do that. So dinim mominus are much harder. Ditnan, and in fact, we learn in the last Mishnah, Baba Basra, Rabbi Shmuel, and Maharotza Shishakim, if a person really wants to become wise in Torah, Yasik with Dinim Mominus, he should occupy himself with Dinim Mominus, Sheimacha Miksoya Batoda, Yosemehen. There was no topic in Torah which is greater than them. Shehen Kemayim Neveya, they're like a spring that's constantly flowing forth, because there are always new things that are coming up in Dinim Mominus, new kinds of business deals that people come up with, new kinds of all kinds of things. And therefore, so you constantly have, it's constantly like a spring that's welling forth new concepts. So therefore, so we see that you have a Talmud to be able to reach that level has to go through this mitzapayim, where he squeezes out. His Rebbe was angry at him multiple times, and he squeezes it out. In other words, that he deflects that anger from his Rebbe twice and applies himself more and more to his learning. So then he ends up having that schos of being able to know dinim mominus thoroughly. So the Gemara continues. What does it mean? The previous pasuk in Mishlei goes, "Im navalta behisnase." If you have degraded yourself in becoming greater, the im zamoisa, and if you muzzled yourself, yod lapeh, then a hand to the mouth. So, in the simple meaning of the pasuk, it means something like that you've raised yourself too much up, and because of that, you've been shown up, and now you're degraded. Then keep your hand to the mat, to your mouth in the future. Don't talk so much, and then people will respect you more. But now with Darshan, you call him a nabal atzmei al divrei Torah, a person who makes himself degraded over words of Torah. In other words, that he's learning Torah, his Rebbe is yelling at him and saying that he's not applying himself or whatever it is, and he's willing to be degraded over that and use that as a springboard to become greater. So for the Isnase, then it also means, in other words, that Rashi says it means that he asks his Rebbe all of his sfeikas. Now, there may be things that he asks that his friends are going to laugh at him. They're saying, what kind of a question is that? That's a stupid question. But nevertheless, he's willing to suffer that degradation. Then, so for the Hisnase, eventually he become exalted and greater in Torah as a result of his question. V'im zomam, but v'im zamoisa, malashin zomam, if he muzzles himself and doesn't ask yod lapeh, then eventually he's going to put his hand to his mouth. In other words, eventually what's going to happen is people are going to ask him things in Torah, and he's going to have to put his hand on his mouth like, I don't know what to answer, because he didn't apply himself and ask the proper questions back when he was a Talmid. Okay. So all of that comes from Rabbi Yehuda's drasha that he said there in Kerem B'Yavne. Then the Gemara continues. Pasuk Reb Nechemya b'kvod achsanya b'darash. The next one to speak was Reb Nechemya, and he also started speaking about the cover in honor of the cupboard of the host who had hosted all the chachamim in Yavne. The darash, and he darshan like this. My dichtiv, you have in Sefer Shmuel, it's the Haftorah Parshas Zohar. Shmuel is told Shaul to fight against Amalek and wipe them out. So Shaul is going to war. So Shaul said to the Keni, which is the descendants of Yisrael. We know Rashi mentioned in this week's parasha that Yisrael had seven names, and one of them is Keni. So now in future generations, the Keni are the people who are descended from Yisrael. So Shaul tells them, "Luchu suru redu mitaycha malaki, go move away, descend from among the Amalekim." So what happened was these Canaan, the descendants of Israel, were living among them. They were all nomads, so therefore they all lived. They all lived mixed together. They were Amalekim, and among them were living also descendants of Israel. So he tells them, "Go away from there, pen oisifcha imay, because otherwise I might destroy you together with him." And I don't want to. You did chesed with the entire Jewish people, and therefore I don't want you to be caught in the crossfire. So what chesed? So the Nechemiah says, let's make a kavachomer. Umay Yisroel shalakeder v'smosha elo l'chvoid atzmai. Madach Yisroel who brought Moshe close only for his own kavod. Kach, he gets such a reward. Now where did he bring Moshe closer for his own kavod? Rashi explains in this week's parasha. When Yisrael comes to visit the Machne and he makes Vayikach Yisrael Oilo Zvochim Melekim, he brought Korbonus and invited Aaron and called Zikne Yisrael to eat with him. So then he was serving them a meal. So therefore he's doing chesed for the Jewish people. That was yesterday's chitas, yeah. That's what I'm saying, this week's parasha. Marashah says, no, that can't be it. How is that? He's not doing a... So Marashah in Chidushe Halochas, actually, it's not Chidushe. Usually when we're learning Marashah over here, we're learning Chidushe Agodas. The Marashah actually wrote his Chidushim on the Gemara as originally two separate Sfarim. He wrote Chidushe Halochas, which is dealing with the Halocha parts of the Gemara. And then separately, a few years later, he wrote Chidushe Agodas. Eventually, they printed them together in the Gemara. But in the back of the Gemara. But here, so here, this part, he actually explains in Chedusha Halachas. So he says it can't mean what Rashi is saying, that Yisrael brought the Korbanos and invited everybody for the meal. How can we call that a chesed, that he brought Moshe close, the Kvod Atzmon? And how can we call it that he's bringing Moshe close? Just the opposite. He came to the Machne. He didn't bring Moshe to him. He came to Moshe. So rather, Marashah says, what we're talking about over here is earlier in Parashas Shmos, when Moshe first came to Yisrael, to Yisrael's town, and Yisrael invited him, that's what we're talking about, that he brought Moshe into his household for his own covering. In turn, Anaf Yosef brings from the Tzlach that no, after all, we can justify what Rashi says, because after all, this that he brought Moshe into his household is not l'chvoid atzmai. It's there's no covered for himself over there. It's l'hanos atzmai. If anything, this way he has a shepherd to take care of his sheep rather than having to delegate it to his daughters. So only here in the Midbar, you can say l'chvoid atzmai, because now he's having tremendous honor, as Rashi says in yesterday's chitas, that Yisrael enjoyed tremendous honor at that point, that everybody came out to greet him in honor of Moshe. So therefore, that's the Tzlach justifies Rashi that way. In turn, Ben Yehoyada says, listen, you know, you can call it when, like Marashah says, when he brought Moshe into his household, you can call it l'chvoid atzmai. After all, until then, everybody had stayed away from him, because we know he was the priest of Midian, and then he gave up Avodah Zarah, and nobody wanted to have anything to do with him, and that's why his daughters have passed through his sheep. So now that he has a man in his household who can pass through the sheep instead, it is a covered for him, and now he's not so degraded that he has to send out his daughters to do it. Anyway, the point is, Reb Nechemiah is saying, either way, so at some point, Yisrael brought Moshe close only for his own kavod, kach, and yet he gets such a reward from that his descendants, hundreds of years later, were spared from being killed together with Amalek. Well, then, if a person hosts a Tamid Chacham at his house, and he gives him to eat and drink, and allows him to have enough from his possessions, how much more so that he gets a tremendous reward for that? Okay. Then Rab Yossi started darshaning about Kvod Achsanya, and he darshaned based on the Pasuk. The Pasuk tells us, don't reject an Adoimi because he's your brother, because they're descended from Esav. Don't reject a Mitzri because you were a stranger in his land. And meaning, therefore, the next Pasuk says that if an Adoimi or a Mitzri becomes a Ger, then their grandchildren can marry into Kal Hashem. They can marry a born Jewish girl. So now make a kavachomer. The Mitzriim brought the Jewish people close, and it was for their benefit. Shenemar, as Pare says to Yosef, after the family has come to Mitzrayim, he tells Yosef, if you know that among your brothers there are strong, capable men, then appoint them as rulers of livestock over the ones that I have. So in other words, Paray expects that he can get work out of Yosef's brothers, that they'll work on behalf of him and on behalf of the state. And nevertheless, kach, and their reward is that for all future generations, their descendants are not completely rejected from entering the Jewish people, unlike Amon and Moab. So then, Mareach Tamid Chacham, Basech Beisei, a person who hosts a Tamid Chacham in his house, Umachilo, Mashkeo, Hanayom, and Nechasev, and he gives him to eat and drink, and gives him anav, and his Nechasim, Allah is Kamim Bakama, how much more so? Then the Gemara finishes off. Pasach Rabbi Lazar ben Oshad Rabbi Yisai Aglili b'chvoy dachsanya v'darash. Rabbi Lazar, the son of Rabbi Yisai Aglili, started his drasha also b'chvoy dachsanya, and he doushed as follows. Now you have the story in Sefer Shmuel, and it's also repeated in Divrei Yomim, where David attempted to bring the Aron to Yerushalayim. You have the whole thing over there. The Aron had been captured many years earlier by the Plishtim. The Plishtim, terrible plagues happened. Hashem brought terrible plagues on them, and they were forced to send it back to Eretz Yisrael. They sent it back to Beis Shemesh. The Jews over there didn't know how to respect the Aron, so a plague broke out. So they sent it to the city of Kiryas Yearim, and it stayed over there for 20 years. So now, after David has become king in Yerushalayim, he's ruling over all the 12 Shvatim, so he wants to bring the Aron from Kiryas Yearim to Yerushalayim. So you have the whole story over there. He makes a mistake. He has the Aron brought on a wagon. Uzzah touches the Aron to try to steady it, and he gets killed. And therefore, so David instead diverts the Aron to base Oved Edom Agiti. This Oved Edom was a Levi. That was his name, Oved Edom, but he was a Levi. He's mentioned. He and his family are mentioned many times in Divrei Yomim. And the Aron stayed by him for 3 months. And then after that, and then the pasuk says, "Vayivorechu beirach Hashem es beis Oved Edom v'goymer that bavur Aron ha'elikim." So then David was informed that Oved Edom and his family have been blessed because of the Aron, and therefore David realized now it's time to take the Aron and bring it to Yerushalayim and do it the right way this time. So what was the bracha? So first of all, so what was the bracha that Gemara is going to deal with soon? But first, now let's make a kavachomer. The Aron didn't have to eat or drink anything. What was the kavod that Oved Edom did for the Aron? He swept the floor and sprinkled water to keep the dust down in front of the Aron. And he had such a bracha, as the Gemara is going to go on to explain. So then, Hamareach Tamid Chacham, a person who hosts a Tamid Chacham in his house, Machilu, Mashkeu, Maneum, and Nechasev, and he gives him to eat and drink, and Hanav from his Nechasev, Allah is Kamu Kama, how much more so that he gets a tremendous reward? What? Maneum and Nechasev would mean, for example, that he allows him to use his Nechasev, that he allows him, besides food and drink, that he allows him to use other resources around his house, for example. It could also mean that he gives him money. What? Wi-Fi, yeah. Yeah. So the Gemara says, Maihi Bracha Sheberchai, what is this bracha? What is this bracha that Oved Edom was given? Amrav Yehuda Bar Zvida, Zu Chamois Ushmona Kaleseha. This refers to the mother-in-law, Oved Edom's wife, and her 8 daughters-in-law, because by that point, Oved Edom himself had 8 sons. She yoldu shisha shisha b'keres achas. Each one of these 9 women had a bracha. They all became pregnant. They all had 6 babies at a time. Shenemah, and you have that, we know that because the Pasuk says in Divrei Yomim, it lists about Oved Edom's family because they were among the gatekeepers of the Beis HaMikdash. So it lists, it gives all their names. It finishes off, Pe'ulasai Hashmini, the 8th son of Oved Edom was named Pe'ulasai. Ki Berchoy Elikim, because Hashem had blessed him, that he had 8 sons. So, but we see also that he had an additional bracha. Uchtiv, then other psukim over there say, after it lists, it mentions that Oved Edom and his family were gatekeepers in the Beis HaMikdash. It says, Kol Elam Ibnei Oved Edom, all of the ones that we listed are all descendants of Oved Edom. Hema Uvneim V'acheim, they and their sons and their brothers. Ish Chayo B'Koyach, They were all strong, capable men who had the koyach to do the avoda. 62 of the family of Oved Edom. So the vote is, in other words, Oved Edom started out with, you had himself and his 8 sons, all of whom are married. So you have 9. Now each of their wives had 6. So now you have another. So actually not counting Oved Edom himself, rather. You have his 8 sons. His wife had another 6. So now he has 14 sons. Each of his daughters-in-law had 6. So that's another 48. So now altogether you have you have 54 new babies in the family, plus the 8 sons from before, means altogether, all of a sudden, Ovid Edom now has 62 children and grandchildren who are all capable of serving in the Mishmash. So that was the bracha that he got, that for 3 months, he was taking care of the Oren by sweeping and mopping in front of it. Yeah.
Who is this Ovid
Edom? So that was his name. His name was Ovid Edom. He was a Levi, yeah. No, I don't think it says he was from Moshe. I don't remember. It says in Divrei Yomim which of the families of the Levim he was from. I don't remember offhand. But yeah. Maybe. No, not necessarily. No, not all Levim were from Moshe. No, of course not. No, the Levim also from Kahasim, from Gershon, Kahasim, Merari. Levi, and Moshe himself is one of the sub branches from Kahas. All right. Yoimi and Mashiach Go'ola, Chamisha Asa B'Shvat, Rosh Hashanah Le'ilam. So the Pasuk tells us about the Shivas Aminim. Now we know the Jewish people are compared to a land where precious stones and pearls are buried in it, but you have to search for them. You have to keep on searching because they're only in certain special places. So you have to dig all over the place, and many places you have to dig deep, which is like plowing, and you have to put in tremendous effort. The greater the effort, the greater what you find, your guide to your Matsasi, and then that creates a greater Ilui. And the same way as the difference you have between plowing in order to plant and the kind of digging that you do in order to find precious stones and pearls. So therefore, the Rebbe talked about in a sikha of Chamishas B'Shvat, Tavshin and Beis, that we have to use the time of Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan to strengthen and to increase in all things of avodah of the Shivas Aminim, all the avodas represented by the Shivas Aminim, as the Rebbe explains Udi in that sikha, as far as himself and as far as having a pu'ula on somebody else. And the Rebbe continues that Yehi Ratzon, that Achlata Tova, and all of that, where Hashem Yirah Lalevim, Hashem sees what's in a person's heart, will bring right away to the Sechar, that B'Noreinu V'Zkenenu Nelech, and will even run with Anan Ishmael, Taratzenu HaKadosha, to the complete Eretz Yisrael, and that means more, even more than just the land of the 10 nations, to the land that has all these Shivas Aminim, and Lechem L'Piri V'Zvayim HaTova, where we'll be able to make the Bracha Ala Eretz V'Al Pei Raseha, and that it will be a land full of precious stones and pearls, and in Eretz Yisrael itself will come to Yerushalayim HaKadosh, to the Har HaKodesh, to the Beis HaMikdash, and even to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and there you have the ultimate Evan, the Evan Shesia, from which the whole world was founded. A quick halacha, continuing on the halachas of Bracha Achrona. And by the way, it should be mentioned today was also the birthday of Rabbi Gerari, Yalva Shalom. Anyway, we talked about yesterday where you're pickling fruits and vegetables and the bracha that you make on the juice of it. So the same way, kavush.
What about shlokas?
Shlokas is overcooked. It's cooked. It's boiled. But anyway, so here you have, if you have fruit or vegetables or beans or whatever, that you cook them in a liquid that has a taste. For example, you cook them in vinegar, or for example, you cook them in borscht or in milk or whatever, then you would still say shakol on that liquid. And again, like we said yesterday, the same kind of thing. If you eat the vegetable and you also then afterwards drink the juice, then you have a suffix whether the juice is included in the bracha. So better to not do that, better to eat or drink them separately. I'm not going to